We at the Northern Dreamers are proud to say that we support Movember. Yes, Movember is the leading charity changing the face of men's health on a global scale, focusing on mental health and suicide prevention, prostate cancer and testicular cancer. The charity raises funds to deliver innovative, breakthrough research and support programs that enable men to live happier, healthier and longer lives. Movember is working to encourage men to stay healthy in all areas of their lives, with a focus on men staying socially connected and becoming more open to discussing their health and significant moments in their lives. The charity's vision is to have an everlasting impact on the face of men's health. To donate or learn more, head over now to movember.com.
Alcohol, gaming, and beers. These were the ingredients chosen to create the perfect friends. Life accidentally added an extra ingredient to the concoction, mental health. Thus the Northern Dreamers were born, using their own personal experiences and lack of knowledge. Glenn, Callum, Big Dave, Adam, Little Dave, and Omer have dedicated their lives to make you laugh and help your mental health.
Welcome to the Northern Dreamers podcast, the show where friends get together, have a drink and have a chat. I'm your host, I'm Glenn, and on this week's episode, I have little Dave with me. Dave, how are you?
Good, man. How's everyone?
I'm good. And if people go to our Instagram, they'll see a video of Dave doing a handstand and having a drink, you know. That's how we prepare for the show. Your mum messaged us and was like, what are you doing to my son?
And I was like...
Yeah, we really shouldn't play drinking games where the apps tell you what to do, because we'll just do it. We're stupid. It's what we do. I've also got Adam on the show this week. Adam, how are you?
Yo. Hello.
Is that going to be your new opening now? Is that how you just come on?
It can be.
That was very influencer of you.
He's got to try to keep it fresh every week now.
That was the last of my energy.
All right, so okay.
Not expect any productivity from this session.
I was going to say, have you, we got a dessert of the week?
And now it's time for the dessert of the week.
We did have, it was a little chocolate tea cake thing, but I've ate it before while I was waiting for you all.
That's fine. Thinking from now on, though, because Dave did the voiceover for the dessert of the week, I'm going to have to start going, so Dave, what time is it? And then we can kick it in, and he says, time.
I do have a dessert, actually.
Even if he's not there.
But for a later, we'll do it in a later
episode. That's fine, yeah. We're recording all day, baby. We've also got Callum with us today. Callum, how are you?
Why is the tea always gone?
Talking of tea, we have our new mugs.
Look.
We've got to plug our merchandise somehow.
We timed that so well.
I know.
It's almost like it was planned.
We're going to have to make this bit like one of the clips on YouTube, otherwise people are listening like, what the fuck are they talking about? Because I haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
Well... Some of us don't have our mugs yet, Glenn.
Sacrifice our mugs, all right?
Yeah. Dave got very drunk for his mug. So that's what you all have to do to sort of win your mug. you have to appease me.
Right. As the near soul hot drink drinker of the group, I should have my mug with me now. However, I've come to determine that either Glenn does not know of what the Royal Mail is, or is just too lazy to post it to me.
As soon as you get it, you'll lose it.
The thing was, right, when I took...
It'll get stolen, Callum, immediately.
When I took Dave home the other day, I was going to bring them with me, but I was
you
in...
You took him home, did you?
I was in no fit state to sort of be driving around everyone's houses, dropping off mugs. I was so close to just sort of pulling the car over and throwing up at the side of the road. So it's probably a safer bet that I didn't do it.
Pathetic.
This is not good.
We will arrange a day where I'll come round and drop mugs off for everybody. It's fine.
Oh, we should arrange a day where we can all get together and actually do some shit.
There you go. And before we do, I need to sidewind into the rest of this now. Before obviously we do get into the main show, I need to remind people we are lifelong friends. As you can already tell, we will say shit to each other that other people may find offensive. Don't mean anything by it. It is just for fun. It's a laugh, and it's what we do. It's how we cope. But with that, and as you have now been listening to a few episodes, we pass the show around to each member of the team. Before we started recording, we spun the wheel, and it picked Callum. So, Callum, this
wheel
week...
Wheel of truth.
The wheel!
The wheel of fortune! Or misfortune, depending on your perspective.
And what we will do, when our Patreon starts properly, we'll allow people to spin the wheel and pick who goes.
You know, what we need to do is actually build a real wheel
so we can actually have a full video, yeah. That's the next plan, folks. So start buying our mugs so we can go buy a big wheel and put all our names on it.
Build the wheel fund.
It's like hashtag wheel of fortune.
That could be like one of our, you know, Instagram reels every week. You know, you've just got the wheel spinning and we pick who does a choice.
Can't be that now. It's made. Hashtag wheel fund. That'll happen.
Hashtag keep it wheel.
Jonathan Ross spin on it. Who also is a really good fan of the show.
He is, yes.
Yeah.
He is
actually, yeah.
Yeah, he phoned us last week and asked if he could be on it, and we're just like, we haven't got the show for you. I mean,
we should have just said, sorry, we've got Graham Norton this week.
sorry, can't do that, mate. We've got our Graham on this time.
He was really gutted as well. He was like, oh damn.
Oh, like I say, at least he's not Piers Morgan. He just fucking walk off.
Well, to be fair, after last week's episode, I don't think we're ever going to have James Corden on the show when Adam just opened up and just blatantly went to town on how much he hates him. So we know James isn't going to be on the show anytime soon.
He is a prick, to be fair. So, he deserves all the abuse he gets.
So, Callum, yes, it's your turn this week. So take it away.
I can, all right then. Yeah, so stories. Yes, stories. That's what. It's story time with Callum. This is what it is.
It's Callum and friends. Yeah. Story time with Callum.
Is this where we sit back for 2 hours and like Callum tells a story of yesteryear?
Oh, if you want me to just ramble on my own for like 2 hours solid about absolute bollocks, that's fine. I will do that.
That's the show in a nutshell, Callum. That is the show.
Dave's already getting. Dave's getting his guitar already. He's going to start playing the M&S advert.
I'm getting the guitar already. Show in a nutshell, but the problem is, he's like, there's generally 3 to 4 other wankers who ramble as well, not just this fat fuck. He's like, you
I
know.
I was ready for the story time.
Dave, are you going to start playing like the M&S advert?
I don't know.
It's Callum's first time.
This isn't just story time. This is story time with Callum.
I was honestly half expecting to break out a xylophone and just like, you know, then one of them really shitty like children type ones. But no, yeah. So so stories this week. So it's more of a. So we're going to sort of like discuss stories basically, and like you know what like ones that we've enjoyed, ones that affect us. You know, the effect that it can have on people, meanings behind them, things like that. As you know, like try and that most fundamental of human things where. It's basically some geezer being able to sit down and chat shit to some other people, and they might actually believe it, or they might find it entertaining.
So basically, this show.
Yeah. It's like this show is our story in a way, right? Well, the simplest thing is like so. Stories as a whole, obviously, they are meant as a means of entertainment, and obviously, there's loads of different genres of stories, from everything ranging from like horror to fantasy to crime to all sorts, to obviously like real life stories. I nearly said like audiobook style, but that's not it. It's like Like the kind of like the like depictions, like the actual real life stories of people, like people's lives. The word has completely escaped me.
The autobiographies and stuff like that.
That's the one.
Yeah,
the autobiographical stories. There we go. There's a mouthful. That's me trying to say a word with more than four syllables in it at this time. It's like, yeah.
At this time, 20 to 3 on a Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
It's Saturday afternoon, man. It's Saturday afternoon. Come on.
That's what coffee's for. Dave knows. Look, he's on it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. Well,
this, who? What? Me?
Well, this was the thing where I was like before, where my sister was trying to show me something whilst I was having a massive shit on toilet. We were just there, like.
I'm glad you said shit, because I thought you was going down a totally different route.
I was getting a little bit worried for a split second.
He was cracking one out to his pile of shame.
I wasn't masturbating this time.
Okay. Does it happen, your sister walking in, you're doing that quite often?
No, but it's about the only place in the house where I can get 5 minutes peace. So, you know.
The toilet.
One of them. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about your sister's room again. I was like, gee. I need to
get some alone time in his sister's bedroom.
I forgot he said shit a minute ago. Like, it left my brain.
But no, yeah. I was sat there. She's trying to show me something on TikTok. So I'm there, door wide open, pants around ankles, trying to squeeze. Trying to squeeze one out while she's trying to show me this TikTok. I'm just sat there brewing ham, just like I should have got a coffee and not a tea. I'm not ready for this.
You was drinking tea while she was having a shit on the toilet.
Yes.
That's what you did.
Yes. Who doesn't do that? Is that not a normal thing these days?
Can I just say?
I get to watching TikTok while you're having a shit, but not have a brew.
It's your place. I get 5 minutes bastard peace. Where else am I going to have a brew?
Takes in his fucking tea. His tea, a coffee, like a three-course meal.
It's like kind of like a keep it going kind of thing. So obviously,
I've sat on the toilet having a shit eating my dinner before now. This is not new. Yeah, exactly.
I become
the definition of a human Play-Doh machine. Food goes in, food goes out.
It's efficient, isn't it, Callum? Keeps you clean.
Exactly. It's efficiency. It's what we're all about.
If we win the award, can't be any more British than podcast, right? That has got to be the clip they've got to play. Just Callum talking about what he does on the toilet. Chowing down with a cup of tea, your Sunday dinner, and watching TikTok, having a shit.
Fish, chips, peas, and a shit.
Yeah. Fish, chips, gravy, mushy peas, brewing a shit. That's all you need. That's all you need in life.
I would not be having gravy.
Same, right?
Don't eat where you shit.
Like, that is one thing I pretty much.
Clearly, Adam, you're not northern enough.
All right.
No, I've not forgotten it. I take that more as a challenge. It's like don't eat where you shit. Watch me.
The guidelines, very blurred guidelines, but the guidelines.
What's that quote from Pirates of the Caribbean? It's like, they're not rules, they're more like guidelines.
The only thing, like, any even slightly remote to what you do on the toilet is when we was back in uni, obviously, like, your bedroom, like, would have like a toilet in it and stuff. So, like, it was, our toilets were built on an angle, so the door was, it wasn't like straight looking at a wall, it was on an angle. So if I turned my TV, my toilet pointed directly at it, so I could play on my PlayStation whilst I was having a shit.
No, that's living. That was good.
That is living the life.
I mean, most of us used to take the Game Boy to the toilet, you know, just shitting, playing the Game Boy. That's what you used to do. But Adam just took it a new step.
Callum surpassed Game Boys and PlayStations, and now He's moved it on to fucking three course meals. So
you can eat buffet.
I'm just transcended to having my meal served to me in the toilet whilst I'm doing the business.
You know, like in the films when you see him get given the shittest stall and it's like in the toilet. Like that's Callum's like actual dream scenario. They ask him where he wants to sit. Oh. That's what he says in the stalls.
It's one of them just wandering to a restaurant. Is it table for one? Yeah, I'll take the toilet.
Oh no, I brought my own commode. I'm fine.
He's like, just go, come strolling in, like, come on, commode in hand. You know, like, fold up table. Just like, sit myself down nicely, put the fold up table in front of me. It's like, right. Me own cutlery. It's like, right then.
I like to think what he does is he brings, he goes and sits normally on the table in the restaurant, a normal table, but he brings like a child's potty with him. So, and like straps himself in on the chair.
Like, here's your knife and fork and your bog roll.
It's like, no, it's no child's potty. I literally just wheel in a full on porcelain toilet. Because there we are. I was like,
this
I don't mind me.
That fucking ghost from Grievous is going to be confused. You know,
it's going to turn up. It's like they just rocks up in middle of a restaurant, just there, like two bog rolls in hand, like.
It's like
this isn't right. I just sort of spin there on the toilet like a shit Bond villain, like, ah. I've been expecting you.
Rotating toilets.
Yeah.
That is genius. That would be.
It would not surprise me if the Japanese have invented that by now. It's like they practically have toilets that wipe your ass for you. Why not one that rotates? You know, why not?
At this point now, the three listeners that we've had have turned off.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. You know, like on a plane or on a train, when you have a shit, it just opens and it falls onto the track or out the sky or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, do you reckon Callum's going to have that built into his car? So, like, as he's driving, he can just shit straight onto the road.
Fucking hell. Going to a drive-thru in Callum's car and he just a toilet that just drops his shit and drives. Right, yeah.
Hey, so your main journey is a lot easier.
You've got drive-throughs to food, and then you've got drive poos to drop off your.
Exactly. It'd be one of them. Is like, you know, when you're having a particularly bad day after a particularly bad curry, it suddenly becomes like Mario Kart on the motorway. He's like, there's a Mario Kart. Yeah, throw a banana behind you. Nah, mine. I got a better one. Massive pile of shit.
Dave sat there questioning his life choices now.
I saw him with a pen and I thought he was drawing out the toilet, like the best way to get it implemented.
The rotating toilet.
I started. So, and then I was like, I can't draw that one.
Dave was trying to work out the schematics of how it would all work.
So we blueprint could together of it all.
Drawing a rotating toilet next week, Game of Dragons Den.
Northern Dreamers patented rotating toilet coming
through. And then I'll go back to an animation of it. Like, it's like, there's a blueprint. I'll write the soundtrack and do all the Foley, you know.
David Adam could do the animation, and then when we put it on YouTube and we make nothing from it because we can't monetize it, because it's literally just a pile of shit.
I reckon we could get that monetized.
Oh yeah,
like I say, Dragon's Den, probably. Guys, Dragon's Den, we've got it.
Literally, just like Glenn, you could just get a camera and literally just film a day in life of Callum, and then we've got it.
It's like what?
Please don't put me through that. I do not want to go through that.
Oh, it's not like you need to do anything. All you basically need to do is just set a tripod up outside bathroom door, and I just basically sit there and do my business.
Right. Think about it. That's my best idea as well, right? To promote this shit, right? You could even do.
I think we are promoting my shit right about now. I'm soon going to have people phoning me for bastard fertilizer deals.
Callum, you could even do DVDs, right? And then on the back of it, you could have like a scratch and sniff.
Free sample.
Had a breakfast today.
We could do it as a book, you know, like an adult's coloring book. I mean, like as you go through, like you said, like each page has a different scratch and sniff. go for a week of Callum's shit.
He's just open his up. He's like,
so we've got.
What did Callum?
He's like, open up a bit of a scratch, bit of a sniff. Oh, he's been on the Madras this time. Just like, you know.
So now,
like,
now we've got dicking with Callum. and the scratch and sniff coloring book.
It's
perfect for potty training your child, because he's like, you know, you go through the stages. It's just there. He's like they could be there sat on the potty doing the training whilst colouring in and getting a good whiff of what he's like of the various aromas.
What fancies for tea today? Ooh, what did a Callum have on Thursday?
You know what we'll do as well? You know those children books where it's like it has the little strip down the side and you press the button and it makes a sound? So we can have the scratch and sniff on the pages and then the button to make the sound that goes with the sniff.
Yeah.
Plus the colouring book. We can give them the whole package.
You had a complete Mexican orgy. You press the button, it's like... It could be
it could be a 3D pop-up book that makes a sound like... As you open each page,
you could get the extra edition and then call it Mexican Night, and you get
the Taco Bell edition.
What, you push the button, and she goes, I fell into a bearing of fire.
Oh well, sounds like we've got more merch ideas to be working on. We'll get right on that.
And I forgot what the original topic was.
Right, stories. We've had the story there of, you know, of what my toilet routine is like.
For those listeners that are still listening, we usually try and get all the shit out before we start recording.
Well, it didn't work today. As we've established, I'm full of shit.
It won't be long until Callum's background is him on the toilet. Like, there will be a time.
It's like chill, like tune in next week where I'll be doing the podcast from the toilet.
I'm surprised you don't.
Hey, I've been tempted on more than one occasion. Whilst we've been doing this on our breaks, I've taken all of you with me to the toilet before now.
To be honest, I don't want a dead eye. I don't want to look you dead in the eyes as you're having a shit. To be totally honest,
you just see him going. So yeah, I did this the other day. And went.
There's just certain things you don't want to. You don't want to have eye contact with someone like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be looking square in the face.
It's something of an unwritten rule is like with men in toilets, you just don't look each other in the eye. You just don't do it.
Not just men. I don't want to see any. I don't want to look anyone in the eye as having a shit. Including animals.
Just sat there across from him, just like enjoying yourself. I can clearly see you struggling there.
Oh god! Right, stories.
Stories. Yes, stories.
Story time.
Now it was like right. It was like first of many tangents out of the way. Right then, stories. So yeah.
I'm currently I've literally actually coincidentally yesterday just finished Ready Player Two.
Oh, right, yeah.
The book. You all seen or read Ready Player One?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the film, not happy with. The book itself is incredible.
I have heard that the book is brilliant. I have sat down and watched it, but I watched it purely for all the references, and I was sat there just like a child grinning at it. It's like, I know what that is. I recognize that.
Yeah, read the book, you'll be even happier. Like, don't base your opinion of it based on the film, because the film leaves out so much shit. In fact, some of the storyline is slightly different as well. So I would read the book. It's like, obviously, we're all pretty geeky. We're all a bit like so. Yeah. You guys will definitely enjoy the book, but I've just finished listening to the audiobook for Ready Player Two. It's pretty good. It's not as good as the Ready Player One.
Yeah,
it's been slated actually quite badly, but I enjoyed it.
I might give it a listen. I'm probably picking up myself. I mean, that's the thing. The missus, she loves to read. I mean, she's we've been off. This week she's already gone for like 4 books already. I picked up a book on Monday and I think I'm still in the first chapter.
are you like me when you're reading? You have to like, I read something and then my brain goes, oh, I know something associated. And then you start thinking about something else.
Yeah.
But your eyes are still looking at the lines and then going through the story, but you're thinking of something else because you've been triggered.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, shit.
You have to go back and start again. Yeah.
And then you get to the next line and it happens again.
You said that you've had this book since Monday, Glenn, and you barely like up past the few first pages. Well, I'm trying to read Fear to Tread in like from the Horus Heresy series. I've had this book for 2 years. It's battered to fuck, and I've still not got past chapter 5. So there you go. I mean, I absolutely love to read. I just don't find the time for it now. With I'm just constantly busy. But there's like, but to yeah, fair, so like, I do. I go through a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, same.
There's like the most recent one, which got released last Saturday, I believe it was the next book in the Gotrek Gernison series, which is Git Slayer, and is like what. Whilst I've either read or listened to practically every Gotrek book from when it was back in the old world, where it was Gotrek and Felix, all the way up to going into AOS, where it's now like just basically Gotrek himself, and it's just got various different. Still following the naming conventions, but it's just like I've listened or read them all. They're all vaguely the same, really. But it's just more the fact of like, oh, that's brilliant. Nothing is like really speaks to me when an angry dwarf goes about just being angry. That suits me to a T. He's like, I'm happy with that. So here's a character I can relate to.
Is the book about you?
No, it's not. It's not about me, but I relate a lot to it.
I mean, for me, I can't just sit down and read. You know, if I'm not doing anything, I need to have something. Like either listen to music, watching TV or something like that. I only really read like if I'm having a shit, basically, yeah. Or you know, I'm getting ready for bed, so I try not to use my phone. So I've got the Kindle, the Paperwhite ones. It's not the blue light and stuff like that. So I try and put my phone down at a certain time, and I'll just read whatever's on my Kindle. But I am one of those ones, like you say, Adam. When you start reading something, your mind sort of goes off on a tangent. But I could be reading something, and even though I don't really want to touch my phone, I'll read something and it'll say something. I'll go, that's not right. And then I look at my phone and start researching it. And then I go down the rabbit hole. And then next minute I'm on YouTube, Facebook and TikTok, and I'm lost track of where I am.
So then I gotta admit, I totally agree with you on that one. Like I was reading this book from it's about like the World War II. It's like these people that they got in as like secret agents to like double agents to work for Germany, but get all the information back to the English. But then it's like they double crossed England to work with fucking insane the way they were going on about it. And it's about these 19 people that were involved with it. And then they were saying certain shit that I had to research because I didn't have a fucking clue what they were talking about, because obviously it was in German. And I'm like, I'm there searching it, and I'm like, and then it's really intriguing.
Oh, I really like this book. Do not ask
anymore. Yeah, I think I'm not taking advantage of the Amazon fucking audio shit, because like I would literally just put my speaker on at like a decent level.
I love like using Audible and stuff like that. Yeah, audiobooks and Audible and stuff like that. Just to let you know, Northern Dreamers on Audible and Amazon Music. So yeah, why are you not listening to us on there? But no, that's
I don't blame them.
You don't even need to be you don't need to subscribe. Just download the app; it's free. But no, that's the thing. I mean, I wanted to do more audiobooks, so I sort of listen them while I'm driving home and stuff like that. It used to be easier when I worked further away. So when I was working in the centre of Manchester, I could actually get at least a chapter or two chapters out of the way coming home. Now that I only work like 5 minutes away, by the time I've pressed play, I'm home. So there's just no point. So I find that I'm not listen to as many audiobooks anymore, which is quite annoying, really. But yeah.
I'm quite lucky in the fact that, well, I used to, when I worked in town, read the books on my phone. Yeah. Not, so I had the Kindle app.
Yeah.
I used to read the books more. Don't know why, because it would have made more sense to have Audible. But since I've now moved to Wivenshaw for working, it takes me like 40 minutes each way. So audiobooks.
I feel
now.
Your pain. I used to have to do that myself. It was awful.
Yeah. Yeah. But the audiobooks do help a lot. So when I get stuck in traffic now, I'm not that bothered because I only listen to stuff that I'm interested in, obviously.
Yeah.
Like obviously on the radio, you have to listen to shit that you don't want to listen to sometimes. But audiobooks and whatever, you like, I want to know that story, especially like Ready Player 2.
Yeah.
I didn't mind if I got stuck because I wanted to know what was going on and what happened. But yeah, like you guys were saying before, like about relating to the books that you're reading and stuff. I feel that exactly the same way with Ready Player One, which is why I brought it up.
Yeah.
Because obviously I didn't get all the references, but most of them, and it just makes you think back to like when you were a child and stuff and all the machines that I had. And obviously we grew up in a time when arcades were still thriving and still actually a thing as well.
So yeah.
I really liked all the references in that and like getting you to think back.
Yeah, definitely.
And remember everything.
I mean,
it shows then is like obviously like stories have obviously the power to invoke or like nostalgia as well, by depending on what it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, so yeah, that's always a good one. It's like, what was it that you were going to say then, Glenn?
I'm not sure what I was going to say.
Typical.
I was going to say, because I've been playing, I jumped back on Assassin's Creed the other day, so Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And as I've been playing it, I started reading at the same time the Norse mythology book by Neil Gaiman.
That is on my list of shit to get.
I have got that somewhere.
It's a brilliant book. I think I'm only a few chapters in, but it is really good.
Just been given a token, actually, on Audible. So let me search for this
book. It's good. That, or you can also get the Assassin's Creed Gold on there. I think it's called. I can't remember the proper name of it, but that's a good one as well. But no, because I've been playing Assassin's Creed, and there's the, for those that haven't played it, or you know, if you don't want any spoilers, there's a bit where you end up in, you take a potion, and you end up in Jotunheim and things like that, and Valhalla, and you know, seeing like the Norse mythology and everything there, and how you're running around as Javi and all these stories, it's absolutely fantastic. And hearing the other names of them, you know, instead of like Odin and Thor and stuff like that, you're actually getting all the other names, and you see in the story of Fenrir. I actually really enjoyed it, and that's what made me want to start reading the book. You know, I know it's obviously not the true story of the mythology, but it's as close as possible. Now, Callum, for you, I mean, you love everything Vikings. So I couldn't have gone any... The fact that you've chosen stories has been a pretty good one, actually, because obviously Norse mythology is... If I need to know anything, I go to you usually for this type of thing.
It's funny you mentioned like the thing with like with Norse mythology and whatnot, because it's like one of, and my love of Vikings, but it's like one of, if not my favorite story, is the story of Beowulf, because where we are sort of like now in terms of modern day storytelling, especially for us to do with like superheroes and things like that. So he's like Beowulf was like the 10th century version of like Superman, essentially. I just find it brilliant.
I was kind of interested in Vikings growing up, but it was never really into it. I was like, just thought they were cool until the Viking season series started, and then I really, really started to get into it quite heavily. So when that Ragnar thing happened, at the time I didn't know, because I didn't do any, because I obviously I know that I could have found out what happens in the storyline, so I purposely didn't do any research, so that basically I was living this, finding out the story as it went along, rather than knowing what was about to come. Which Vikings has actually turned into, I know it's finished now, what is probably my favourite series of all time of anything. And I think if I would have known what was going to happen before the season started, I probably might not have enjoyed it as much. So I think not knowing and being a bit oblivious kind of helps in that aspect.
Sometimes it's like the whole purpose of is like obviously like going through the story is to get to the ending. But I do think sometimes with some things where you already know the ending, I think it kind of makes you appreciate the journey a bit more. So it's like the classical writing trope for any sort of
except for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's like
fucking Game of Thrones.
It's like it's one of them. I so hope that when George R. R. Martin finally releases the final book of that, and it's just there, and I so hope the ending is just so much different, and it basically boils down to Daenerys won, and everyone was happy, lol, and that's it.
I wasted 7 years of my life.
I know, yeah.
In the build up, you know that they were offered to do. I think it was either to do more episodes or to split it over 2 seasons. But because they were money-grabbing bastards and they wanted to go work on Star Wars, which obviously is an exciting prospect, but...
It's a bastard failing franchise. Well, exactly.
So because they wanted to do that, they fucking rushed the whole thing and fucked everything up. Yeah. And they fucked it up that much that they also lost their Star Wars gig. So that's a fucking lesson to them for being knobheads. I hope they never get work again. You can fucking die.
As his stories, there's a moral to that story.
Oh, yeah, exactly. One thing worth asking is, like, obviously, like, stories come in many and various forms. As we've seen, we've quoted stories that are literally from literature, from mythology, from history, from TV shows, from films. What would you say is some of your either favorite or like favorite stories? Sort of thing. So like some of the stories that have really kind of grabbed you and you've just sort of ran with, and they've just always stuck with you, and they've been sort of like kind of like a foundation of who you are in a way. Like they fundamentally, you feel like you yourself have taken on aspects of like what those characters were and whatnot, and essentially tried to kind of like emulate them in a way.
I'll get mine out of the way dead quick, because you know exactly what I'm going to say. Like, it's going straight back to the root, man.
I was
going to
say Yu-Gi-Oh!
The thing is, at the end of the day, I know it's an anime, and I know it's fucking, you know, but people are just, you know, it's a cartoon game, what the fuck are you on about? But the growth of Naruto and the way he has to earn the respect and the way he believes in himself and all this bullshit, he's had such a hard life from a very young age.
Yeah.
He's had to work on it in himself. Yes, he's met people along the way and they have helped him with that. And to me, that is just my fucking life all over. Like, I'm not going to go into my story, but I have had a shit life since I was a very young age. And to be where I am today, I connected with that so much, to believe in myself, being, you know, work on everything that I need to do, have friends and people that have helped me through life. And that's, you know, that's why my fucking whole arm's covered in that shit.
And Dave has now become Hokage.
Exactly. What can I say?
being a pretty big Naruto fan myself, in that is like a bit like I did kind of in a way grow up with it in a sense, even though I was I was in my late teens, early 20s when it eventually got here to the UK. But
it's ridiculous. It's like the whole, when he goes through life, he's you know, he's, like I said, he's been through a lot of shit, but he's always looked on the positive side of life. And he goes to, and he obviously, when he meets other characters and they're going through really dark side of shit, and they go down the depressive mode, they go down the whole evil thing, but it's a way that he can bring out the good side of them. He can what he's dealt with, he can then pass on his positivity side of himself, and he brings the shit out of them, and then they become better people themselves. And that's like, I'm not gonna say I am Naruto, blah blah blah. I've dealt with people in my past who are depressed as fuck, or they've just had so many problems. And then when I spoke to them about what I've been through and everything that I've done and blah 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 blah, there is now people to this day who I speak to who have thanked me for saying, Dave, I can't believe you've been through that shit. Because I never say my issues are any worse than anyone's. If someone's issues are shit, that could be a lot worse than what I've been through because it's their issues. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to have someone to talk to who's been through shit, they've then been able to be like, you know what? Thank you, that sort of thing. And you've made me feel so much better, blah, 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 blah. And that's another way I've looked at it, is like, that is like, it is a good feeling that you can help someone through shit when you've been through so much shit yourself. Not like counseling them or anything like that, but just because you have like a connection to know where someone else is going.
It's like having something to relate to sort of thing. Cause like there's the thing of like, if someone who's not been, you know, like had significant challenges in their life, if they've not gone through that and they're trying to console or, you know, try and get on the same level as someone who has had a lot of hard times in their life, it can often come off as like, well, it's like you have no clue what you're talking about. So it's like, what are you doing? It tends to just make the matter worse. But if it's from someone who's had similar experiences, then you've got that connection, you've got the relatability there to be able to sort of like say, it's like, yeah, it's like, well, it's like shit, it's like, you know, because it sort of hammers home to them that it's there, like, oh, it's like, I've been through some shit, but so has this person, but like, look at how they've dealt with it, sort of thing.
Definitely.
I think for me, I'm going to go on a completely different route where for me, it's like the stories, you know, that we don't have an answer for, you know, like the Loch Ness Monster, you know, Jack the Ripper, things like that, which was the whole reason of season one of the podcast when we started doing like conspiracy theories and, you know, the search for Atlantis and stuff like that. Those are the sort of things, you know, the unanswered questions that have always driven me. And I love these things because they're just proper entertaining. And I think that's the whole thing, is we all want to believe that we live in this magical world where things can't always be explained. But obviously, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be just somebody was drunk and just come up with these stories, and they've just been. It's basically, you know, not to say it, Chinese whispers or whatever anymore, but it is basically a game of that, you know, where it just goes on and on and on and on, and the story changes over time and over time and over time, and it's like you hear things in the news now that they're still trying to figure out who Jack the Ripper was, and it's like the other day when I read a theory that they were saying that Jack the Ripper could have been a woman. It was she could have been a midwife because she would have known where all the certain parts of the body were to cut open and things like that. And I was proper intrigued by this because...
Glenn, I was just going to say, I actually read something about it. Apparently Jack the Ripper was a woman.
Yeah.
Couldn't get pregnant.
Yeah, but it's not just that though. It's like back in those days, you wouldn't suspect like someone in a medical professional. You wouldn't really bat an eyelid if they were walking down the street covered in blood, because they made house calls. That's what they did, you know. Especially midwives, they would go to like the women of the night basically and remove whatever needed to be removed, sort of thing. And that's the person you would turn to. So no one would question or bat an eyelid on it. And when I started saying this to the missus the other day, she went, "Ah, yeah, well, midwives back then didn't actually do any of the surgeries, you know, they weren't allowed." And I was like, "Oh, you just like shit all over this theory that I really enjoyed." I was really excited by it. I'm sat there going, "This is well good." Yeah, it can't happen because they weren't allowed to use the tools.
But it doesn't mean they didn't know what they were doing.
Exactly. And midwives were always covered in blood because obviously they were there. Their job at the time was just to help birth the child. And I mean, you wouldn't bat an eyelid. I mean, to be fair, if I saw a midwife out on the street covered in blood now, I don't think I'd really question it. I'd just be like, go get a what?
How would you know she was a midwife?
That's a good point, actually, yeah. Well, I mean, I do pick the missus up sometimes in the hospital. So they're all coming out from that ward covered in blood. I know they're midwives.
You can imagine that conversation there. It's like, hard night, was it? Just there, just literally like looking like just stepped out of a slaughterhouse. He's like, you don't want to know. He's like, the stories I could tell you about being elbow deep, like in Viscera tonight, is like, you don't want to know.
Well,
like,
as
no, it's like, no worries, love. We'll just leave it there.
As my my entire family have liked to point out, my girlfriend has been in more women than I have. So, you know. But it's, again, it's the mystery of the story that I enjoy, and you know, those sorts of things, or even like the real life stories of like Pompeii, you know the people that were there. And again, we did an episode on this in season one where someone was cracking one out, having the world's first danger wank as the lava that. Was coming down. What's the last thing going through your mind?
Why not? Why not go out in that way?
Like, he came and went at the same time. So. But I mean, no, those.
I hope he did get to finish. To be fair, like,
because you imagine that, like literally being now like a preserved statue of someone from Pompeii as you are mid stroke, literally about to finish, and you just get incinerated by lava. He's like, could you imagine how blue balled your ghost would be with that?
He's on the edge, but never.
Here's a ghost story for you. It's like that geezer who was trying to pop one off in Pompeii as the lava was coming down, but didn't get to finish. He's now roaming the spirit realm with the world's biggest blue balls, just because of the fact he didn't get to finish.
Yeah, that's the whole story behind hell, isn't it? Like the last getting it totally loops, so he'd always get to the point of about to come, and then he.
I'm glad that I'd just be awful.
And he'd be like, never finish. What a way.
That's not how you'd want to spend your afterlife. Just a constant edging scene. You're like, no. Don't want to keep repeating that for the rest of eternity.
I'd love to read his autobiography if he had one.
The title would literally be, "I just want to come." That'd literally be it. That'd just be the title, and that's the only words that would be in it. It'd be like a page long. "I just want to finish," and he's just like, "No, you just can't do it."
Oh, that'd suck.
But those are the fascinating stories for me. It's even like when I went to Loch Ness. You know, you want it to be real. You really, really hope it's real. But you're out on that boat and you're sort of like, it's just a big body of water, isn't it, really? That's all it is. I mean.
It's but it's a bonny body of water.
You asked for free fitty.
I did.
I'm
going to need about free fitty. What do you do? I give him a dollar. You give him a dollar.
Girls knocked on my door and it was like, goddamn Loch Ness Monster, what is it, goddamn 3 minute?
Yeah, because could you imagine?
She gave him a dollar.
Could you imagine though? It's like you're there on Loch Ness, you're rowing out trying to find it, and literally this fucking plesiosaur just pops its head out and he's just like, morning, and just fucking carries on as if it's normal. You're just there in a boat, just like, what?
If the Loch Ness Monster is real and does ask for tree fitty, I could die a very happy man.
it's like pops up. It's like you got 3 fitty. Nah, mate, I got a fiver. Take it or leave it. That's it.
15 years of just pure like, yes, it's finally happened.
My life was worthwhile.
I'm gonna need about tree fitty. for me, kind of like. What Glenn was saying about stories that like inspire you to move on and stuff. So, like I mainly like to listen to autobiographies about people and like what, like how they've got to where they are now and like the stuff that they've had to overcome and like what driven them. Obviously, like the people that have the autobiographies are very famous and like very high up and very successful in their field. So it's interesting to see their motives and what drove them to get to where they are. And for me, I try to use that as like a source to drive me forward. So every time I think that maybe I'm not at a point that I should be in my life, or I'm failing at something, or I'm not good enough for something, if I listen to them and like find, listen to one that kind of has a storyline that relates to the situation that I'm in at that time, and find out how they overcame it, and then it lets you know that actually things could be worse.
Yeah.
Like, I still have time and stuff.
Operational sort of thing.
Yeah.
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 So that's because, like, after uni, like, I didn't go straight into what I wanted to do. I ended up working at Tesco for like 2 years, and I thought, like, fucking my life's ruined, basically. Like, I've wasted 4 years at uni. But, like, obviously, I listened to some books and stuff at the time. It kind of made me think, actually, I can sort this shit out. And then I ended up working for three jobs, actually. So I did Tesco overnights. I did a graphic design job 2 days a week. So I would finish the night shift at 7 a.m., drive straight to the graphic design job, do a full day, go home and sleep for 3 hours, then go back to Tesco to do the next night shift and do the same again. Then I would have a day off. Then I would go and do another job where I would do, basically I do email marketing now. So then I would go and do another job for a company where I would do email marketing for them for 2 days a week as well. So basically use that to push myself and to drive myself. And then obviously that luckily ended up paying off. But it is true, like, when in the stories, when you read them and people say they worked out their ass, they put in all the hard work, and at the time you think it's never going to happen, and then eventually, like, everything just clicks into place and it all works out. It actually genuinely does happen, but you have to put the work in. But I would never have done that without reading or hearing stories of people that have been through it in the past.
Yeah,
I probably would have ended up just giving up and staying at Tesco or something.
Do you know what, mate? I could totally relate to that, man. Like, I totally agree with you on that shit. Like, cause obviously when I finished uni, obviously I've done music my whole life, and then I got a job straight at Home Bargains, fucking worked there for almost fucking 4 years. I mean, obviously then I got a job I was working Sam Rockwell, so I was working 7 days a week, and I was just like, I'm never going to do anything with music. Got in bands and they were shit, nothing happened. You know, I stopped making music for, like, I used to do like intros and stuff anyway. I stopped doing that. But then I just started looking back at, you know, big bands, and people go, yeah, you're never going to be like a big band. But then you look at all these big bands and they started off in a little shitty garage. They started off having to pay to play gigs. Like,
yeah,
started off with
exactly
shit all instruments or anything. And you just got to be like, no, you need to just fucking do it. Like, you just got to get off your ass and do it. And like you said, you look at these like autobiographies, or you watch, like, for me, I've actually watched a certain, like, a few films of how they started off and then they just cracked on and then became the biggest bands in the world. And yeah, you just get off your ass and you just got to put the work in, like, full on, got to put the work in.
Exactly. If you let people, like, because obviously the people that tell you that it's not going to work out, yeah, and like, you, that's a stupid idea, they're the people that have no ambition in life, and like, they're the ones that just want to sit on their ass all day and they're quite happy and content working in their shitty little job. So they don't understand what is driving you to do that. They don't understand what you're going through. So yeah, don't ever listen to people. Like, I think I mentioned it to Glenn a while ago when we were talking about this podcast, actually,
yeah,
saying, because you were saying, like, people were saying you're being too ambitious about the podcast and what we hopefully could become. Well, that's ridiculous, because how could we ever reach the heights that we want to get to without being ambitious enough to reach them?
Exactly.
If we were like, it doesn't matter, if it's not successful, it's fine, then it's never going to be successful, because we'll never be motivated to push us to get better.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like, there's the saying, isn't there, where it's aim for the moon but shoot at the stars.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Always assume that you're going to be amazing. Unfortunately, I've never done anything where I've reached the point in my head where I've been like, I am fucking incredible. Like, I've never got to that point yet. So I'm still always striving to, like, improve and get better. And I'm going through the same process at the moment with my partner. She is a wedding photographer. She's trying to establish her business. But she's only very early in, so she hasn't got as many bookings, and obviously they're not coming in as often, so she gets really down, and it's like trying to remind her and motivate her that she is only new, and she, obviously we've been in a pandemic, so she hasn't got the content and people aren't doing, so it's about, like, saying the right things and pushing her. And like, I tried to get her to, she's not done it yet, to be fair, because she works quite hard as well. She works long hours for her day job while she's trying to earn money at the moment until she can go full-time photography. But I'm trying to get her to read some of the same books to try and motivate her into doing it. She's doing well. She's getting there. Like, she's doing a wedding right now, actually. So she'll come home and she'll be driven after that. But then after 2 weeks where no one inquires and stuff, she'll start getting down again. So it's about...
Yeah.
This is why stuff like audiobooks and films as well are really good. Like those inspirational films where you just bang them on. Because you do get... People don't want to admit it, but you do get motivated. I've seen loads of people watch a film and then you look outside and then the fucking, like a film about boxing or running or something.
Yeah.
You look outside and everyone's going on a run. Or like, you heard the stories about Rocky when that came out and everyone wanted to be a boxer. And
yeah.
Like, they do motivate you.
You know, like Bohemian Rhapsody, and you've also got a movie called Dirt, which was based on Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Like them for me.
Yeah, I've seen that. Like, it's fucking mint.
Man, I was just like, even though, yes, they were fucking badass motherfucking druggies, it was like they fucking did what they did. And at the end of the, when they go out on the stage and they're playing the biggest show of their lives, all back together, I'm just like, I fucking won that. I am doing.
Exactly. I'm glad you said those films and not This Is Spinal Tap. Because I mean.
Which obviously, you mentioned that actually is quite ironic because when it's my next time to do a show, obviously I'll mention something about that anyway. But. Even so, like Spinal Tap got a fucking album made out of that.
And
and then they became massive. They were asked to come on The Simpsons, and they went fucking all out.
They're
being a little mocky little fucking thing.
Yeah,
I live by kind of like one of their sayings as well. Like, whenever you're struggling, like you just got to pump that shit up to 11.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, this, exactly what we do with this isn't, podcast.
Isn't,
you know?
Isn't 11 the same as 10? Yeah, but this goes up to 11.
But where are the sandwiches? It's a you know what, right? You just said there, Glenn, I'm glad you didn't mention Spinal Tap. We are quoting Spinal Tap.
He clearly knew what would happen if he mentioned it, and that's what he's done.
a similar comedy, well, it's not similar in any way, actually, but there's a comedy that I really like that's like, it is actually I would regard it as one of my favourite films ever, even though, like, I wouldn't put it up there with, like, Armageddon and Gladiator and stuff like that, but it's something that I can just watch all the time, and when I am feeling, like I was saying before, like, a bit like, I need a little bit of motivation, I'll put it on. And I know it's all complete bullshit in a film, but I just like it. It's The Internship with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Where they go and work at Google.
Yeah.
Like that for me, I don't know. Like, I just, because for, obviously, like in my field of work, like someone like Google is like the ultimate dream to work for. So I think putting it on and just seeing it and like making me think, actually, this could one day be possible. Is what keeps me going sometimes. So
it's because you've got the connection to it in a way. It's like through your field of work. That's like that's your connecting point to it. So it's just there, like it's like, yeah, it's like this could be like, you know, my thing. So an equivalent one would be like, say, like if I didn't absolutely despise fine dining. Like I say, it's like, so like me as a chef, it'd be like, that'd be equivalent to me like going from right, I'm working just for some fucking just some atypical bloody cake, like company now. It's just like just like in one of their sites that have like got like 200 plus in the country, or whatever. It's just like, yeah, just like just doing that. But it's like if I really wanted to, it's like yeah, it's like I could go from that to like working with the likes of fucking like Rick Stein and all them, and it's like going to like proper like Michelin star restaurants and all the rest of it. It's like, well, obviously I despise fine dining, so that's never.
Do you don't find Ratatouille quite inspiring?
I've always thought that I'd be missing something, and that's a rat on my head using me like a puppet. You know, I that's the one thing I'm missing in life.
Anyone can cook, Callum.
Callum, 1 second. I'll let you borrow mine if you want.
Hey!
He's got his own little Remy.
We were saying though, Callum, last week when it was me, Adam, and Dave. That if we do win the award, you need to bring the dominatrix and you need to be wearing a gimp suit and you need to go and collect the award.
But now we need to add on to that he needs to wear his dominatrix, like his suit, while sat on the toilet that moves whilst being wheeled in by the dominatrix. So we've got to have the toilet situation in there now.
Well, that would add a really interesting effect to the scratch and sniff, the domination.
I know, I can't have souls to bring it back to how we started.
Yep. We're back,
smell
we're back
that,
to, we're
smell
back
that leathery shit.
I don't want to taste that whip.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
That was not the shit I asked for.
It's like, it's just what, oh, yeah. Oh, the mental image. The mental image. Oh, it's killing me.
Just the, yeah, but like, sorry. But, go on, Carl. Yeah, no, you sorry. Finish your story first before I put in. And
but yeah, but, so, like, for me, is the, a lot of the stories that I sort of, well, or have, like, listened to or taken inspiration to or were generally, like, some of my favourite things were actually, we mentioned, like, the tales of like the Norse sagas and things like that, but so it's like Norse mythology and Greek mythology and the story of, like, the Greek history. It's like for whatever reason, I seem to be drawn to kind of like the hero's tragedy in a way, and just like, I suppose it's a very atypical male thing, I suppose, where it is like, you know, the hero's story. It's like that. Those are the things that I tend to sort of, to like gravitate towards, because like a lot of the things that I loved when I was growing up were obviously like you had the likes of like Transformers, Star Wars, stuff like that, who have some very central heroic types. So like you look at the likes of like Optimus Prime, Luke Skywalker, He-Man, things like that. You're like even characters like Conan to a degree, where you're just there like, it's like, yeah, these are heroic characters. They will go through the hero's journey and they'll go through all like the trials, the tribulations and all the rest of it, and they'll still come out at the end swinging. So I think it's like,
is it basically anyone who can have Bonnie Tyler's "I Need a Hero" in the background? Is that it? It's just, as long as that song...
You've got to have a montage on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Montage
is place hero. Yeah. That's when you know you've made it.
I mean, it's like it's all. I mean, it's like having like the rendition of "I Need a Hero" when Shrek 2 made that film. It was a steaming pile of shit otherwise. But as soon as that scene started playing and that song was in the background, you were nodding your head and you were singing along. Didn't matter how shit it was, you were enjoying them. You were enjoying them 4 minutes of footage. Just like, yep. This film has suddenly become amazing.
We're going to leave it there for this week. but remember, tune in next time, subscribe and leave comments in all the usual places. We are currently a 5-star rated podcast with over 10 comments now. I mean, come on.
We do apologize. We do also apologize for you finding out Callum's bowel movement information.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry about it.
But you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and we're going to be on YouTube as well.
Also, those 5-star reviews aren't from, you would think it was Glenn putting in those reviews, but it is.
No, they're from
one.
these are from actual living people.
They are, right? Yes.
Actual living person. Yes. Like one singular person.
To be fair, one of them is for another podcast because they are so good. They've even commented on our podcast and they're like, yeah, yeah, we're going to compete with you now. You are our enemy. So it's like, it's fine. Bring it on.
Why are we only just finding out about this now?
It's fine.
Callum's getting ready for his Viking battle with him.
Is that it? The war is on.
Oh, I'm saying, film floggers, beware. Callum is on the case now. He's on his way. Yeah.
As soon as I make like the Alien Queen and peel myself off my toilet, I'm going to be coming for you.
But yeah, you can find us on all the usual social places. But until next time, I've been Glenn, he's been Callum, he's been little Dave, and he's been Adam. Catch you next time.
Bye!
See you later.